Hello, everybody. Right now is one of a few times every year when Wisconsin Public Radio is turning to people like you for support to help us keep doing what we do. So if you like the WPR Politics Podcast and you would like to hear more of it, why not consider making a year-end donation to our esteemed employer? You can do that by going to wpr.org/donate. It will be much appreciated. Well, hey guys.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
You know what? It's December. I'm thinking it's high time we do a year in review podcast episode.
I don't know, John. I feel like there's kind of a lot of the year left to go.
Yeah, 6.85% of the year left to go, John. There's a lot that could happen yet.
I see what you're saying. So how about this? How about instead of a 2019 year in review, we do an entire decade in review podcast episode?
Okay, so if we do the decade in review, that's only 0.685% of days left to go. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, what could possibly happen in the last 0.685% of the decade?
Nothing that I can think of. Let's do it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, we talk about the last 10 years. So guys, as we are recording this, there are a lot of people outside our little snug Capitol office. So if you hear people in the background doing things...
It's just what the Capitol sounds like this time of year.
Yeah. They're doing a science tree lighting ceremony, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's coming up. There'll be a lot of kids in the building for that.
So where do we want to start? How do we attack this last decade of news here in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, there's a lot to unpack, right? So I was thinking, since we're kind of focused on Wisconsin specifically, we have all sort of experienced Wisconsin news in different ways. You know, I have been here for the entire decade of Wisconsin news. You guys have not.
It's true.
And I thought like it might be fun to kind of see like to clue people in on like when you guys came in on the Wisconsin news scene and like what have been sort of the big Wisconsin news stories from your perspective. Would that be okay?
I suppose that would be okay.
Okay, who
Thanks
wants to go first?
Thanks for asking so politely.
If you had said no, I would have been like, well.
All right, let's just wrap this thing up.
Good show, guys.
We could just have a monologue of Sean talking about the last 10 years.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to start with you guys. Okay.
Scene open on a black stage with one spotlight.
Sean Johnson's one-man show. Oh, that'd be so great.
Act 10. I had to sleep. The building, act 10,
sleeping bags,
everybody's
sleeping
outside
bags.
Screaming.
Oh, that's good. Take some notes.
I think you should do that part of the show in a sleeping bag.
Yep,
you
this
know,
is going to be
really
the next
high
Hamilton.
I'm crying, I'm laughing so hard.
John and Laurel are alluding to the fact that during the act 10 story, you had to stay at the Capitol a lot, and... I had a sleeping bag here. Please, somebody go first. Free me from this moment.
Well, Laurel, how long have you been in Wisconsin?
So, John, I got here in July of 2014.
And I just want to, as an aside note, that you had to look at your LinkedIn profile to figure out when exactly you came here.
Yeah, I mean, time is kind of a blur.
And like you started covering the Capitol full time in February of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
What has Wisconsin, what's the big Wisconsin news been for you, like from your perspective?
I feel like it's kind of a tie. Can I do a tie? Is that cheating?
You can do whatever you want. There's no rules.
Yeah.
We're doing a decade in review before the decade's even over. By the way, we were alluding to the possibility that, you know, there could be articles of impeachment passed by the U.S. House of Representatives, but
or
that's kind
a
of a
bunch
national
of other news that we have not foreseen.
This is kind of a national story, so we're going to get this in while we have time.
Right.
So back to you, Laurel. You can do ties, sure.
Yeah. So I feel like the tie would be the voter ID lawsuit that I covered in federal court, and kind of like the continuing clash in court over Wisconsin's voter ID law and sort of how that's played out. I feel like that's been like a big story since I've been around, which is kind of funny because that's something that definitely happened before I got here. And a lot of things happened with it before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess that just shows what a huge story it is, because I came in like mid story after a lot of things had already happened. And it still stands out to me as like one of the biggest things that I've done since I've been here.
Did you make this ranking based on which topic have I done the most news stories on? And like, voter ID, I've done 1,000 stories about this.
That could be. Yeah. I feel like if there was like a bar graph of the, like the subjects.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all those Spotify things that are going around, mm-hmm. but like for stuff that you've covered at the Capitol, ooh, that might be kind of depressing if you looked at some of the stuff you... I spent too much time covering that one.
Oh, man. I mean, if you counted in, like, budget stuff.
That should be high, though. It's okay.
Two budget cycles now, yeah, and so that right. would be a big part of my...
Graph your time in the Joint Finance Hearing Room.
Yeah. Ooh. If that was a pie chart, that would be a...
Hours away from sunlight.
Yeah, right.
Beige
hours
pie
in a beige room. Yeah.
Yep.
That pie square would definitely be beige.
So voter ID has been a big one for you. Mm-hmm. And what's another one?
I would say the lame duck session.
That was pretty dramatic.
That was big. I think that was my biggest, longest overnight session.
I think
in
so
the
too,
Capitol.
Because they used to do this all the time. And since Speaker Voss came along, they don't really do the overnight sessions as much in the Wisconsin Assembly.
Yeah. I mean, I know that since I've started in the Capitol, there have been a handful of times that we've gone until like 1 or 2 in the morning. But the lame duck session, we didn't finish until I think it was 7 or 8
right.
the following morning. I feel like I'm just judging that based on like me having to stay awake. Obviously, it was a huge story, and the continued coverage of that has been massive, like all the lawsuits and the clashes and everything. I mean, and the national attention that it got too.
It really did, yeah. I mean, because it kind of fit into a story that was playing out elsewhere of Democrats winning, taking mm-hmm. back some power from Republicans in the states. And so as an example of how Republicans were responding to that. And yeah, national media definitely picked up on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Walker had been a pretty, you know, big national figure as governors go. You
yeah.
know. Okay.
Can I mention one other thing while I'm on a roll? I feel like when I started in 2016, there was also a lot of conversation about just like how many figures from Wisconsin were really powerful in national politics.
Oh, yeah. The Cheesehead Revolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about Paul Ryan and Reince Priebus and just Scott Walker's position in the Republican Party. And I did a couple stories for NPR just about, you know, Paul Ryan and kind of going to his district and getting responses to like his retirement for one, but also like his tax proposals.
Yeah.
And everything. And that was a really big deal.
You covered
Wisconsin's role.
Apex of Wisconsin Republican political power. Ryan, Priebus, Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, this is a good conversation. I like it.
Good.
He says, as like people in podcast land are like, what?
What are they doing?
Okay. You have, since there are no rules, you have the right to like remember something else and chime in.
Okay.
But we're going to go to John K. Wilson, who has a little more tenure than you do here WPR.
Well,
as a full-time reporter, not if we count
Laurel was here before me.
She was here, then she left for the newspaper business for a little while, and then she came back.
Beer, right?
Technology and beer.
Beer and technology and music, and very briefly, the Madison City Council.
Hmm. Like a week, right?
Yep, like a week. I do want to mention though, as like to maybe like tee up what John might say or might not say, but I was
I don't know what I'm going to say yet, so please.
Okay, maybe this will help. I was creeping around the office after everybody left the other night.
As you do. As one does.
I was there for the member drive, and so I was helping with that until like 7 o'clock at night, and so I went into the newsroom, and everybody had left by that time that particular day. And I noticed that John has like all these awards up on the wall by his desk, so I was just perusing John's many awards.
This is creepy.
Some time. No, I know. It's very creepy, and you can cut it if you want. But I was a little jealous because I saw one of your awards is you and Sean covering Walker announcing his presidential bid.
Oh.
You guys worked on that together, and I was like, oh man, that was like,
Was that in the interim?
Was that in my newspaper time?
You were not here yet. Yeah, that was in 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, Laurel, we were like Starsky and Hutch, man.
Yeah.
You named the buddy cop movies? That was like, that was us.
I know. And then
we were like Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan.
Or like the Lethal Weapon, and I would be Danny Glover in that situation, right?
Isn't Starsky and Hutch, isn't one of them a dog?
No, that's Turner and Hooch. Oh. yeah, it's Tom Hanks and a dog.
Yeah, that's probably more what our working relationship was like.
Right, yeah, yeah. John drooled all the time. It was crazy. Dog dies in that movie, too. That was crazy. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. Jeez. Yeah, I was not expecting it, believe me. Okay, John, on that note.
Yeah, on that note, it's all the interesting things to sniff here in Wisconsin in the last 5 years that have been such a story for me.
Oh, gosh.
So many interesting smells, gotta tell ya. No, I mean, I think it's not necessarily one specific issue or story that I could point to, but as someone who came here, who took the job not really having much, previous awareness of Wisconsin, I think the overriding theme is sort of like stepping into political division, like lines that were drawn before I got here, and sort of having to navigate and figure out what all of the different nooks and crannies of that bigger division was, you know, in the Scott Walker era in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, there are certain things where there's a lot of history to certain issues or feuds.
Like John Doe lawsuits or investigations, and
that's the most... is one of the most complicated things that we've covered over the past 10 years, I'd say, were all the John Does, connected in some way to Scott Walker and his campaign. You came in, like, when was it?
January of 2015, I think.
Right around the time that, so this would be one of the things on my list for sure. This is right around the time that the Republicans were talking about right to work.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember when I first moved here, listening to WPR, and the story of the day was Republican leadership saying, you know, right to work is out there as an issue. It's something we're looking at, but we're not actively looking at actually doing that. And then, like, within weeks, I think, of me being here, if not less time, it was like, yeah, that's actually a thing we're doing.
It was fast. Yeah. We went from Walker. I mean, and he had said in previous campaigns, not something he's interested in. And then they won in 2014, and there it was. It was like really, really fast.
That was a big one. I mean, do you feel like that's sort of like second to Act 10 in terms of Walker's legacy, like Act 10 and then Right to Work?
I am not sure like how history will judge it. It was funny at the time because there had been so many protests over Act 10 and everything else for a few years. Mm-hmm. There were protests for right to work, but they weren't as big. You know, like I think people kind of knew, unions kind of knew, and they had been weakened by that point, by the way, that they weren't going to win. But I thought like as far as a big policy, yeah, Wisconsin's a union state, and to pass a right to work law in a union state, it's got to be a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
See, now I'm kind of brushing up against the enormity of this task of trying to remember all of the stories that happened in the last, even just 5 years that I've been here.
I know it's kind of a we maybe should have put more time into it, but I like that we're just doing it off the cuff a little bit. One thing that I think happened during both of your tenures here that is, it's just like so obvious that we wouldn't mention it in a way, but Donald Trump winning Wisconsin was kind of eye-poppingly huge, right?
I think the episode that we did like the week of following Tuesday election, it was like surprise something, or maybe it was just called surprise.
It was
surprises,
right? It was something. in this room, actually. I remember it.
Just not expecting the results of that election, not just the presidency, the way that swung, but then the Senate race that year too. Ron mm-hmm. Johnson winning re-election against Russ Feingold. Polling up to that point had been, you know, favoring Democrats.
I feel like, you know, talking about the 2016 election, I wish that I had more experience covering elections before that, because I feel like it was such a singular experience for me. I've never covered an election night event that felt like that one, just in terms of like the feeling in the crowd and sort of the surprise. And I wonder if it was kind of a once in a lifetime experience, but I don't have, it was, you know, I just don't have the breadth of experience to differentiate it.
Where were you?
I was at the Feingold event.
Okay.
And everybody started the night so excited and enthusiastic. And, you know, they had a DJ and they had a live band and just everyone had this feeling of certainty, and it kind of it wasn't hardly even gradual, it was just kind of like a switch flipped in the room and it became so dark and it was just it was a weird feeling, and just kind of that level of shock. It was an interesting thing to experience.
Yeah.
I think that was, you know, if I have to pick out a couple things of the past 10 years that was like really a big moment for news for me, that was definitely it.
Yeah.
Probably pretty obvious. But
well, part of the reason I wanted you guys to go first is just so you wouldn't like pick on me for being here forever. But now's your time to do that. It's my turn.
Yeah.
Anything you want to know about the last decade?
No, not really.
All right,
I think
cool.
We can wrap it up.
Well.
Okay, so in 2010, mm-hmm. The map drawing and everything. I mean, that is so huge. I just wanted to mention that before we move on. I mean.
Yeah, I just want to like take a moment to reflect on the fact that in this decade, I have covered a Democratic governor and Democratic legislature, actually. Like in 2010, the year 2010, Democrats were still running things. So that's
both,
how much.
Both the Assembly and the Senate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was, I mean, it was
so
until
when,
the 20.
So when Walker was elected, it was Doyle and two.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. that is just.
Talk
the
about
breadth
a sea
of your
change,
experience,
huh?
John Johnson.
Yeah. You say it like I'm the one who's experienced. I think there's quite a few
there's quite a few
reporters here who experienced that, and quite a few staffers who have been through a lot more than that in the Capitol building for sure.
Was 2010 the year that you got here?
No, I got here in 2004.
Oh.
2004.
So you have.
I've got a
wide breadth of experience.
Yeah, so I got to cover like Doyle with a split legislature, Doyle with a Republican legislature, Doyle with a Democratic legislature, former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle, mm-hmm. for those not familiar with who I'm talking about there. But anyway, just thinking about that back for this show that we're doing here, it was like, wow, 2010, at the beginning of this decade, if that's where we started. And I guess we do.
As one would.
As one would. Jim Doyle and Democrats were running things. And I remember that actually being that the end of that session being kind of one of the most chaotic end of sessions that I've covered. But like to me, the biggest thing, like the biggest event, like the most important event probably that I covered since I've been here is the 2010 election. I think everything else is just second. Mm-hmm. You know, Act 10 just follows from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just can't think of a more seismic election than the 2010 election that brought Scott Walker and Republicans into control, because then they got to draw the legislative map for the next decade, which is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Walker got to introduce everything he did with the Republican legislature, and that was pretty important.
And it seems like, in just in terms of like the political landscape, I guess I'm wondering like, what was it like going from, you know, all Democratic control to then this huge, what seems like, at least looking back, this huge sea change after the 2010 election?
Well, the first few months of the Walker administration, actually the first year and a half of the Walker administration, was just like impossible to keep up. You know, things moved so fast that you would sometimes kind of stop and ask more veteran members of the press corps, hey, can they do that? You know, it was just so fast and so big. Like, the changes were just so big. Like, when Walker introduced Act 10, it took a minute to like let it sink in. How big is this? Oh, mm-hmm. It's pretty big, you know? So there were a lot of those moments where you're just trying to, I guess, grasp whether this stuff was, you know, whether it could happen and just how big it was.
Well, we could keep going on about the last decade for at least another 20 minutes or so, but in the spirit of wrapping things up, is there anything else you guys have?
So I have in my little notes here that we made quickly before we recorded this, the Affordable Care Act, which is mm-hmm. not necessarily a Wisconsin-specific story, but a pretty big change and a law that has been fought over ever since mm-hmm. that still seems to be at the center of every election we cover.
Yeah.
And is, you know, at the center of many court battles. So the Affordable Care Act, big thing that has happened in the last decade and how Wisconsin has dealt with it, you know, mm-hmm. With the Walker administration not fully embracing the Medicaid expansion, kind of doing their own thing with Medicaid funding.
We're definitely not creating a state marketplace either.
Right.
Yeah, we definitely don't hear about the Medicaid expansion
anymore. No, not at all.
No, it never comes up. Never comes up. Act 10, obviously, was mm-hmm. the thing.
The recall, I think.
I'm disappointed we didn't.
Oh, the recall. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that, okay?
Yeah. The only recall that a governor has ever survived in the history of the United States.
I guess to me, I kind of lump that in with Act 10 and such, but it was its own thing.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. Like, we got to my section, and it's like, well, you know, Walker, just all the things, but there are quite a few things. And to not talk about the recall, that was... It seems like we would be missing quite a lot. But man, it really ignited passions in the reddest and the bluest parts of the state.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting as somebody who, you know, is newer and, you know, talks to people about things.
Laurel White, talking to people about things in Wisconsin since 2014.
It's on my business card. I talk to people about things. The number of people that point to the recall and Act 10 sort of looping them together and how that changed kind of the culture of Wisconsin politics and how Wisconsin politicians and even voters kind of on different sides of the aisle relate to each other and talk to each other. It's really interesting because a lot of people point to that as a major kind of seismic shift in that moment in like the nature of Wisconsin politics and like the amount of civility in Wisconsin politics.
Laurel's working on a story right now about civility in Wisconsin. And part of the reason like I wanted to say like when you guys started working here is because Laurel started covering the Capitol in 2016 and she has seen civility sort of get worse. Is that what we say? Like she's seen state government become less civil in recent months.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate way of what you've seen?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's just kind of a personal observation of somebody covering it. And so I've kind of been trying to report that out and see if other people think that, if lawmakers think that that's happening and sort of what's the difference between civility and kind of like bipartisan cooperation? Because obviously now with Evers coming into office and having a split government, that's led to different kinds of conversations in the Capitol. But does it kind of go beyond that? You know, did it start before that? How are the maps involved? You know, mm-hmm. how do people's districts kind of play into how they talk to each other? Or does that have nothing to do with it? You know, does politics always have this kind of thing?
The thinking there being that if you have more deeply red districts and deeply blue districts, that those people are going to be farther apart mm-hmm. just going into every discussion.
Yeah. And that you don't have to worry as much to get reelected to kind of play to that middle. and, you know, get those independent voters or those moderate voters or people that are more enticed by you working across the aisle if the districts are more polarized.
How enticing. They're working across the aisle.
I'm sure lots of people say that. Yeah. Just that way.
And so
looking at bipartisan cooperation as if it's some so juicy ham.
I'm sorry. That's a great political cartoon. Write that down. Remember it. Along with your little musical number for Act 10 that I'm going to have to perform. So my perspective being here since 2010 is that it was pretty bad in 2011 and 2012. Pretty bad. And I think it kind of, I feel like it cycled out of that a little bit. It got a little more calm around here for a while. And maybe it's getting back into that, you know, tenacious fighting mode again a little bit.
I just feel like when I started in 2016, you know, and Republicans had all the power, there was obviously conflict between Democrats and Republicans. But I feel like since, especially, you know, in the 2018 election cycle and since then, it's just, the tone is just different.
Well, thanks for taking the time to look back at the last 10 years, guys.
I'm looking forward to the next 10 years. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited to start the decade, just like old man Sean Johnson did in the last decade.
We waited the entire time to get there, but you rolled it out.
We get to, you know, I'm going to get my own fresh set of maps, just like old man Sean Johnson did in 2010.
Yeah.
You know, and
exciting.
See how that plays out.
Does everybody know what you mean when you say I'm going to get my own fresh set of maps?
Yeah, the new redistricting process.
See, redistricting. There's a census, and then they'll redraw political boundaries. There's a lot to unpack here.
Right.
Since Laurel dropped the old man Sean Johnson bomb at the end of the podcast, do we want to, like, lift the veil on, like, how old we are?
How old am I? Oh God!
You're 31. Laurel's 31, and I'm 41. So when I was experiencing Wisconsin state government in 2010, you guys were still like living life,
toddling around.
Yeah, that's
graduating
right.
Graduating from college.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you go. A little nugget at the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you were covering the 2010 election and Act 10 and the recall. John and I were in the freshman year of real life, is what we called it. It's what my friends called it. You know, you graduate college and you get your first job. We called it freshman year of real life.
Whoa.
It's a pivotal time for us, as it was for Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was in, I had a baby in the house, so I was in my freshman year of fatherhood. So,
aww.
Yeah.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
If you're looking ahead to the next 10 years and you're thinking to yourself, what I really need is insightful, entertaining discussion about Wisconsin state politics delivered to me almost every single week, well, you are in luck, because you can get just that when you subscribe to the WPR Politics Podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can also find the show on Google Play and on Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime that you like by going to wpr.org/politics.